Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Episode 89 of the VA Tourism Podcast celebrates Kenyan hotelier Daniel Sambai. Daniel, who is currently the general manager of the Kigali Serena Hotel, has been narrating his two decades of learnings in the hospitality sector. The man, who was assistant manager at a tender age of 23, is optimistic the coronavirus pandemic presents opportunities to making tourism more sustainable and a real force for good. Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I have the general manager for Kigali Serena, Daniel Sambai, as my guest. Danny, good morning.
Morning, Kojo.
How are things? I know
Things are fine. As usual, I'm an optimist, so all is well so far.
Okay. Great. I'm happy to hear that. You are an optimist, and so am I. And I just hope that we can come out of this strong and, continue the restart. Now, let's get into the conversation. Can you tell us more about yourself and what you've been doing in the hospitality industry and right now as a manager of Serena at Kigali?
Yes. So I've been... in the hotel industry for actually 20 years now. Started off as when I finished my hotel school in Nairobi, I went to the UK for an internship at a hotel there in the Lake District for about 1.5 years, and then went back into Kenya. Then I got employed by the Serena Group. I joined the group, started as an assistant manager in the safari lodges in Masai Mara, in Samburu National Reserve. And then after that, I went to Nairobi Serena, where I was in front office. And then I worked in Mombasa after that. So from the city to the beach side. So that was quite interesting. And then after a few... I was in Mombasa for about a year, and then an opportunity came up for me to move to the Serena in Tanzania. So I moved into the Serengeti National Park to manage one of our luxury tented camps there. So I moved to Tanzania. So I worked in Serengeti, Zanzibar, Dar es Salaam, and now I'm in Kigali. So it's been a journey.
Interesting. And from what you just said, it narrates someone who's being who has immersed himself with the Serena culture in East Africa, because we know Serena is a very strong brand, in fact, a leading indigenous brand in East Africa in terms of hotels. And how did you manage when you became assistant general manager at the age of 23 or 26? How was it like?
Yes, yes.
23. Wow.
It was quite interesting because the good thing is I already had the training from the college, a good foundation. I had some internship experience in the UK. So when I came back and joined Serena, and then I obviously had to go through also the Serena program just so that I can be able to fit into the Serena culture. So I had to go through the management program. So when I was there as an assistant manager, it was interesting because, this is a remote setting. It's not a city. You're in the park, so you have to get used to, coexisting with the wildlife, and understanding the flora and the fauna, and these are all new things, because when you're having striking conversations with the guests, you need to know your surrounding area. So they would ask you, what kind of tree is that? Or what bird is that coming in? And suddenly there was something I had to learn again very quickly. So it's always a learning curve, apart from just what you know in food and beverage, but you have to start taking an interest in animals and birds and trees and plants and, you know, just generally the flora and fauna, which is quite interesting, especially if you're working in the national park. So it was a very, amazing experience.
And aside, maybe, for example, I say aside your passion, what has kept you going for 20 years as someone working in the sector?
For me, I've always, to be honest, I was born and brought up in the coast in Kenya, so I've always loved tourism. I've always, you know, I grew up seeing all these tourists coming into our city called Mombasa, and I was always intrigued from that time. And when I used to get an opportunity, you know, to go into some of these hotels and the public beach, would walk on the public beach and see all these beautiful hotels, and I was always look forward to working into, you know, I always said, you know, it would be amazing to work in such a facility. So for me, from that time, I've always wanted to be in the tourism industry. But also one thing that has kept it very exciting is that the fact that it's been a good blend of experience, you know, moving from safari lodge to a resort, to a city hotel, you know, and in different destinations. So it's really, for me, it's been a very interesting journey. I can't complain at all.
Okay. Over 14 months ago, obviously, our sector, I mean tourism, has been under not just tourism, but again, we've been one of the severely hit sectors, and coronavirus came. Now at Serena, how has it been for you guys?
Yeah, so talking about the pandemic, yes, it was definitely tough times for the hospitality industry, and obviously us being there, it was a very challenging time for us. However, we had to be very sober-minded and had to, you know, come up with plans on how to, you know, how are we going to ride this new wave. So first and foremost, we adopted a safety first approach, whereby we worked closely with the Ministry of Health and, you know, participated in infection prevention control trainings, you know, worked closely with the government to understand, you know, what is expected, how can we, you know, operate in such a, you know, environment with all the uncertainty and all this. So we took time, that especially at the initial stages, to try and understand, you know, how can we be able to safely reopen the property in such a way that, you know, it's safe for the guests, it's safe for and also our staff. So we had to get external support to be able to, you know, come up with protocols. So we worked with an external consultant. So we came up with protocols for each and every section of the hotel, you know, be it the health club, be it the reception, be it the, you know, where we looked at all the, you know, high touch points of clients and, you know, what do we need to do? Because it was not only cleaning, but there was a two-step process now. It's cleaning and disinfecting. So we had to now look at what do we need to do. And then after that, once we finished our needs analysis, we realized now we needed to invest in equipment. So we invested into equipment such as electrostatic sprayers, keycard disinfection kits, you know, UZU ultraviolet disinfection wands, thermal detection systems that detect somebody's temperature as they come into the hotel. So we had to invest into these systems. And then once we invested in them, and now we were able to come up with proper protocols, and then we were able to safely reopen the hotel so that we could be able to encourage our clients to come in. And as we reopened, we also realized that, you know, we had to also, it was a new norm, so we had to embrace new things such as, you know, takeaway menus, get people to start doing takeaways. We had to digitize, you know, we had to come up with QR codes because people wanted touchless menus. And so we had to do all these things. And we had to now approach every department and come up with protocols for every department. And once that was done, we were able to safely reopen the hotel. And when we did, we started seeing traffic coming in. Obviously, it started its trickles and then, you know, ramping up as we continued.
Okay. No, that's good. But again, I mean, we're still reeling from this pandemic. The region pandemic, and how do you balance, if you like, new things that, I mean, we are, in terms of the health protocols, cost of production, and, you know, developing or using technology to make sure that people can be able to still have, you know, seamless meetings, because we are not supposed to meet in, you know, in full. So in terms of the fine balance, how do you go about it as a hotel?
Yeah, so in terms of, we realized that we needed to embrace digitization even more. So we had to look at whatever processes that could be automated and had to be automated. We had to look at now, like you said, for example, we needed to look at now virtual experiences. You found we had some meetings that needed to continue, but now you'd not have the usual participants. So what we saw is, we saw a rise in something called, like, a something termed as hybrid meetings, whereby you have a few participants locally and they want to plug in and be able to have a meeting with participants who are offshore in different countries of the world. So we had to now work with vendors who are able to help us get those solutions. So we were able to execute those kind of hybrid meetings, because that is what was there at the time and it continues until now. So so far so good. We've been able to now learn what we need to do, we know what we need to invest in, and we've seen it now working very well. In as much as it still cannot fully replace the face-to-face meetings, but at least it's you know, it's a good stopgap measure to ensure that life continues. And apart from just the virtual experiences, we also had to, you know, embrace things like cashless payment systems. For example, I don't know, for example, we had to do M-Pesa, whereby, you know, you accept payment by mobile money so that people can pay, because we always had the point of sale systems, but mobile money became another interesting avenue for clients. And what was very, very critical, when we looked at the booking trends have become very last minute, especially due to COVID. Some people have to get a test result, then they make their bookings, and it's very tight. You find in countries saying 72 hours, some 96 hours. So some people are not booking in advance, because just in case your test doesn't have the result that you anticipated. So we're finding the trend is very last minute. And because of that, we had to make sure that our systems provide real-time information, because our availability was changing by the minute. So we had to really embrace real-time info to be able to make sure that our property management systems can capture all the bookings that are coming through.
Oh, Daniel, that's very interesting. Now, talk about the last point that you brought up. You know, in terms of people last-minute booking, do the hotel, for example, take into cognizance this situation, so that when people are not showing up or because of their test or something, you know, is there a way that, I mean, you were able to, if you, because typically if you are going to a hotel or pre-COVID levels and then you've booked and, you know, you don't show up, no show, etc. Has your hotel adapted something in the, you know, in the wake of this peculiar situation?
Yes. First and foremost, we had to adopt what we call flexible cancellation policies. Okay. Because we realize that it's not the fault of the guest. Sometimes there are things beyond their control. Sometimes the guest wants to come, they've got their test and everything, then the airline cancels, you know. So there's so many uncertainties. So in such cases, we've been very accommodating to our clients. And, you know, we've told them if they've prepaid, we can safeguard that credit so that they use it for the next stay and things like that. Because, you know, with COVID, you have to exercise a bit of flexibility, to be honest, especially those are some of the issues. You know, some of the strategies that will help us, you know, to regain, you know, the travelers' confidence so that they can come back and, you know, continue with this resumption of tourism.
Okay. I think that, I mean, now it's very good that we acknowledge that at least property like yourself and an African hotel chain is also taking the lead, you know, in that. But in terms of your plans in Rwanda, in this transition of COVID, or if you like post-COVID, do you have anything that you will, I mean, you may want to share respect to how you want to chart a new path or bring in new things that would adapt to the setting and even for future respect to not just the pandemic, but any disaster that we can at least assuage the plight of people in the sector?
I think one critical element is collaboration. You have to collaborate with, you know, like for example, in this time of COVID, we had to collaborate a lot with the government through Rwanda Development Board. We had to collaborate a lot with the Rwanda Biomedical Center, which is a Ministry of Health. They were the ones in charge of the COVID protocols and guidelines. And we found that, you know, through lots of consultative meetings, we were able to understand what we were facing. And there when once you understand what you're going through, then you're able to collectively come up with strategies. So collaboration is very key and this is something that will continue, whether you're collaborating with your, you know, with your source markets, or you're collaborating with, but depending on what kind of situation you're facing, you have to really have a very good collaboration with the authorities and especially the experts of that kind of crisis, whatever it is that you're going into. We also realized that, you know, not just even post COVID, we've seen, in as much as hotels, we were always adhering to high standards of hygiene and safety. But with COVID now, we had to install new systems, for example, disinfectors everywhere. Sanitizers, not disinfectors, sanitizers. We had to disinfect more than usual. And some of these things are here to stay because, you know, it's good practice. It's good hygiene. And it's something that will continue even in the foreseeable future, because it's become part and parcel of what we do, and we've embraced it, and I think such things will continue. What we also learned is what some of our plans also is, you know, in as much as sometimes you look at all these things, you should never forget your staff. Our associates have been very key in enabling us get through and being where we are at the moment. So we feel that we'll never stop investing in the training and development of our key resources, which is our staff. So once the staff also get to understand what we're going through, then they're able to adjust, and they're able to, once they're engaging with our clients, they're able to pass on the, you know, correct information, and they know their roles that they're supposed to play. Because again, COVID taught us that, you know, we are in this together. We have to work together in order to overcome it. So teamwork became very, very critical. So these are some of the lessons that we've learned and will continue through even post COVID.
Okay, now as a frontliner, you know, in this sector, what do you think will be the sector's biggest challenge, you know, as we restart travel and tourism?
I think I would not want to look at it more of a challenge. I'd like to think of it more of like what would be the sector's biggest opportunities.
Okay.
Because if we're looking at restarting tourism, what are the opportunities that we've learned? One of the things that we've learned is we need to build a more resilient and sustainable tourism. And by sustainable, resilient means we need to be able to, you know, get through some of these shocks. And how do we get through these shocks is coming up with strategies that will ensure that whenever there's disruption, especially in one market segment, you've got others to cover that gap. And you know, for a long time, we've always looked at domestic travel. We've always gone to domestic travel in times when, you know, we had low period of occupancies. Our low season is when we want to go to the domestic market. But we've learned through COVID that even as a city hotel, when you come up with you know, nice staycations, enticing offers, people do come on weekdays, on weekends. People come and they want to spend in a hotel. So domestic tourism will now become, we've embraced it now as a long-term strategy and not as a one-off, you know. So domestic tourism is here to stay. And so we will continue coming up with very innovative offers and enticing offers, because we've seen the value of domestic tourism. And once you have a good base of domestic tourism, it will keep you afloat at all times. We've also looked at intra-Africa travel. I think this is also another element where, you know, what we've seen with COVID is that it becomes easier for your neighbors to travel rather than people coming from very far. And towards this end, I know even through the government initiatives, there were incentives even by the Rwanda Development Board, whereby the gorilla permits now have been reduced even for African travelers so that to entice them to come in. So we've been working with the government so that we want to really be intentional in promoting ourselves in the wider African segment. And we feel that this, again, not just as a one-off, but more of a long-term, again, to make sure that it's a strategy that is here to stay. So we come up with proper strategies. Recently, we were in Ghana trying to foster those kind of partnership and collaborations. And we're looking at going to other countries to try and do the same. And then we need to work at restoring traveler confidence. And how do we restore that? You'd restore that by, you know, by now, like what I said, you know, initially as things are very hazy, you know, you have flexible cancellation policies. You make sure that you demonstrate to your clients that you have already invested in proper hygiene and safety systems so that they can have peace of mind once they come to your property. So at least, and this was done through various communications, you know, we had to do videos and what to just show them what we are doing, because we needed to inspire that confidence to them so that they can start traveling again. And that was very key and remains very key even now. We need to restore that confidence so the travelers can feel, wow, I think we can safely travel to this country and you know, and again, partnerships are very key. We feel that we need to continue fostering a lot of partnerships, especially with the source markets, various source markets and any emerging markets that we feel, because it's through that constant engagement and sharing of information is when how those markets will be able to understand what is happening here, and they'll be able now to sort of, you know, visit our destination. And finally, we also need to keep cooperating the way we have with our tourism boards, you know, and just generally a lot of consulting, you know, we need to be consulting each other so that we can come up, you know, with ways and means of just ideas of how to collectively restart the industry.
Okay, you know, that sounds very progressive. I mean, the raft of measures that you've just proffered. Now, finally, if you're not running around the hotel and checking and bookings, etc., what do you do?
Good question. I'm a big sports fan, so I'm active in sports. I play soccer and basketball. And when I'm not playing, I'm watching. So I watch a lot of football. I follow a lot of leagues. I watch Formula One. I love watching tennis. Not good at playing tennis, but I love watching it. And obviously basketball. So I'm very big on sports. And when it's athletics, now we're looking forward to the Tokyo Olympics. So when it's, you know, anything sporty, then I'm there. I love sports.
Ah, okay. No.
Yeah.
Daniel, yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And we'll come back and engage with you again. I mean, I have to mention that I was in Serena, you know, Kigali, and I can attest to the measures that your hotel, you know, has put in place to guarantee the safety of your staff and their guests. So thank you so much for coming on this podcast, and we hope to engage you further going forward.
Thank you, Kojo. Thank you so much for the opportunity.